It's always a very sincere pleasure to be able to be with you today and to be a part of the Lord's worship. It's a wonderful thing to see brethren here who are faithful and upholding the cause of Christ, and we look forward to us working together. Good to see our visitors this morning. We're glad that you're here as well. If you ever have any questions about the church or what we teach, feel free to ask. We're very open about questions, and we'll be happy to study with you any time. This morning I want to begin with a passage from Matthew chapter 17, and beginning with verse 18, when it's talking about the mustard seed. In case you haven't noticed, I have a little pin on this morning. It's a mustard seed. Shows how small it would be, and I thought it'd be fitting to wear it this morning. But Jesus was talking about different things. He had just ratified the work of John the Baptist in the previous verses, and they were asking about Elijah, and Jesus assured them that Elijah had already come, and that they did not know it, and they perceived. Then he was talking about John the Baptist. And he said, beginning with verse 18 of this same chapter, Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Just one of the many miracles of Jesus. Then the disciples came to Jesus privately and said, "Why could we not cast it out?" So Jesus said to them, "Because of your unbelief. For assuredly I say to you, if you have the faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, 'Move from here to there,' and it will move, and nothing will be impossible to you." Now tonight I want to talk about verse 21 about fasting and prayer, because we don't usually talk much about fasting under this generation. But we talk about the mustard seed here in this particular verse, and it's not simply an empty boast with regard to Jesus in the miraculous age. During the time of Christ and during the time of the apostles, they had miraculous power. But he's also talking about the power of faith. One of the miracles that Jesus did was something that was just described in this chapter, but the disciples, though at this time they had powers, they were not able to cast out the demon or cure the epileptic boy. And Jesus said, it's because of your unbelief. So the main thought of this passage is the idea of faith as a mustard seed. And it is really very small. And as you look at this, we recognize that he's emphasizing the idea that we have to have better faith than what we sometimes do. So this morning we'll be talking about the power of faith and understand that within us, when we have the faith the Bible describes, we can do marvelous things. Through my years as an individual, as a Christian, and as a preacher, I've seen people do marvelous things with their faith, overcome huge tragedies, overcome great difficulties of life. And it is because of their faith that they could do that. Now the Bible tells us in Romans 10:17 that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So many people have the idea that faith is a gift from God, that He'll give you faith, and that's not true. The reason why our nation is going away more and more from God all the time is that people have given up reading the Bible. We have generations of people that have never opened the Bible, others have never read the Bible, and many who've read the Bible do not really understand what the Word of God is saying. And if we want to increase our faith, and on one occasion the disciples prayed that their faith might increase, we need to be more dependent upon the Word of God. And as the Word of God is in your heart, in your mind, the biblical heart, when that's true, then you're a stronger person. You're able to overcome the issues of life and not give in. Well, the mustard seed is about a millimeter in diameter, and I was raised under inches, so I'm not really familiar with much of a millimeter, but if you're interested later, you can see what a millimeter is, which is rather small, and we understand that. But Jesus said in Matthew 13:31, talking about this same thing, that the mustard seed grows into a tree, and the birds build their nests in it. And that's an emphasis upon how much your faith can grow. And as you can understand, this tiny little seed and how it can become a tree, Jesus is telling us that our faith can increase. Our faith can be greater than it has been in the past. We'll be better able to withstand the issues of life and the temptations of the devil because of faith in the Word of God. I've always been impressed when Matthew chapter 4, after Jesus was baptized in chapter 3 of Matthew, he went out led by the Holy Spirit into the desert and was tempted by Satan. And as he was tempted, he would always say, "It is written." And the fact of the matter is that as the psalmist said, "Thy word have I laid up in my heart that I sin not." Well, that's the way we overcome sin, just like Jesus did. As we've used the illustration in the past about a man going out to fish, and he has a lure or a bait, and he runs that through the water hoping that a fish will see it. Well, if the fish see it, they grab the bait and they're hooked. And that's the way Satan does with us. Jesus was tempted, lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, the pride of life. But when the devil drug that bait by him, he wasn't interested. He didn't hit the bait. He didn't get taken by the devil. And that's the way we're to do. As we increase our faith in God, increase our faith in Christ and the Holy Spirit, increase our faith in the Word of God, we're better equipped. Now, Ephesians chapter 4 talks about chapter 6 talks about the weapons of our warfare. And as you look at that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're spiritual. And they're increased by our acceptance of the Bible, our understanding of the Bible, and our application of the Bible to our lives. And so this is a parable of Jesus, and yet it's a truth that as a small seed can become a mighty tree with birds making nests in it, so our faith can grow. And that has to be a personal thing with each one of us, that we have that kind of faith. And so the lesson in that, in both Matthew 13 and others, is that the small amount of faith can have great results. And I've seen that. I've witnessed that in people's lives. And probably you have in your own life as well. As somebody said, into each life so much rain must fall. And it does. It happens to us when bad things happen to good people. And these good people, by faith, will be able to overcome these things. Now, I recognize there's some health issues that require medication and things of that nature. But I'm talking about your spiritual strength and your ableness to resist the temptation that the devil brings in your way. And surely it's going to be there, as we understand. So this is the best example that you see in this is the life of the Apostle Paul. He was a man of great faith, but not faith in the right thing in the beginning when we see him. And he learned this lesson the hard way because it shows the power of faith. Now, Paul could make such a tremendous change in his life. And that's a tremendous thing when you think about the zeal he had for the Jewish religion, the zeal that he had against Christ because he thought Christ was an imposter, him going to the Sanhedrin and getting licensed to go and persecute Christians and put them in prison and put them to death. And he felt like he was doing right. He had that kind of faith, but the faith was wrong. But the thing about Paul was that when he saw his mistake, he did an about face. And he used that other faith that he had to do the things that God wanted him to do. So the power behind the faith is based upon Jesus being the Son of God. You see, faith is only as good as the object of our faith. I want you to think about that a little bit. In various places and in the Old Testament, they had an idol named Baal. And the representation of Baal was a great big bellied statue with a hole in the belly, and they had built a fire in it. And they would throw their children into the fire. Now, it took faith to do that, but the faith was no good because the object was an idol. So the strength from faith comes from the object of our faith. Our faith is sincere and real because we believe in Jesus Christ. And that's the basis of our faith. So in Matthew 16, Jesus asked the disciples about that at Caesarea Philippi. Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi. He asked his disciples, saying, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" So they said, some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah, one of the prophets. He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered and said, "You're the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it." Here's the strong faith that Peter showed. Now he wavered later, as you understand, when Jesus was being tried and persecuted. Peter's faith failed for a little while, and he had to redeem himself after Jesus was risen from the dead. But notice what he's saying here, "Upon this rock I will build my church." So many people mistake that and say that Peter was the rock, but that's not what it is. What the rock was the confession, "You're the Christ, the Son of the living God." Upon the rock who is Christ, then the church will be built. And we understand in Acts chapter 2 that church was built. Jesus said in Mark 9:1 to those individuals that were hearing him, he said, "Some of you will not taste of death till you see the kingdom of God come with power." You understand that the kingdom of God is the church. And the church came in Acts 2 in the lifetime of those who heard Jesus speak after Jesus died, was buried, and raised from the dead. And in Acts chapter 2, you see all this come to pass in the lifetime of those who heard Jesus speak. And so the church became a reality, or the kingdom of the same people. And that rock was the confession that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That's why our faith is effective. Because the faith that we have is only as good as the object of our faith. You can have faith in money. You can have faith in the nation. You can have faith in politics. You can have faith in a person. But that's not any good. It's not any good at all. Some even call the Pope Lord God the Pope. But that faith in him is no good because he's just a man. And you have to have faith in Jesus Christ because he's the object of our faith and gives our faith the power. And so you have that idea conveyed in passages like John 14:6, where Jesus himself said, "I am the way, the truth, the life, and no man comes to the Father but by me. There's no other foundation can any man lay than that which is laid, which is Christ Jesus," 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And as you recognize this, it empowers our faith. Our faith is not just academic faith. It's not something that we just talk about. Faith is a force. And faith is an ethic that we have that is actually real and deep and strong. And it leads us into the right pathways. We always have choices to make, because we are free will creatures. And as we make those choices by faith, we understand the right path to choose, and that we understand which way we ought to go. And my faith leads me and guides me in that direction, so it's wonderful to have that. Now we need applications of this truth. As you understand that faith is a force and a power and an ethic that we have in our hearts that guides and leads us, strong faith gives us an ability to deal with difficult ordeals. And we see that as we lose a loved one, as we face the trials of life, as difficulties come upon us sometimes beyond our control. You see people going forward. You see people who overcome those things. And they go on toward the future because they cannot be defeated. And faith in Jesus Christ has as it the condition that when you have that faith to the proper degree, you'll never be defeated. Satan will never have you when you have that kind of faith. And he's giving us this lesson. And so in the book of Philippians now, in chapter 4, we see some things that we need to recognize and understand that faith helps us in. And if you'll turn to chapter 4, begin with verse 6, we'll notice some of the things that we have to help us overcome those difficulties. In verse 6, Paul said, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." I've seen that peace at work. I remember Brother Homer Haley, who was my teacher in college, lost his first wife to a brain tumor. And he told me one day, as we were talking about that, he said he didn't know how to face the future. He said he had children that he had to help raise, and he had college classes to teach, and he was popular and held meetings all over the country during that period of time. How am I going to face that? So Temple Terrace, where the college is located with a great big golf course all through that little city. And he said he got out one morning real early and was walking and praying. And he said, "Suddenly I just had a peace. I can do this. I can do this through Christ. I can do this." We talked this morning in class about something that's very important in 2 Timothy chapter 6, and that is contentment. How we have to learn contentment. And we are able to do that with this faith that we have in us. And we see other people striving and working to gain more. And I'll never forget the time I was in Los Angeles and I went to a Bob Crosby show and Peggy Lee was singing. She was a great singer in her day and was very successful and very wealthy. But she sang a song that sort of me epitomizes people who strive for wealth. And she sang the song, "Is that all there is?" And it had the idea that, you know, I've reached success. I have this pinnacle of success that I've reached, but there's something missing. Is this all there is? And that's the way our class was this morning about Paul and Timothy. That, and the lesson from Solomon. Solomon did the same thing, that he strove for money and had as many wives and he built things and he had gardens and he would continually refer to the thing that life under the sun. And he concluded that life under the sun, everything was vanity. Sometimes the flowers you plant wither and all these things disappear. And we don't know where all those things are now because Solomon's dead and gone and those things that he built are just piles of stone. And at the last, he really learned what it meant to have understand life. Fear God and keep his commandments. They've supplied a word to try to help us understand, but I think we don't understand it. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. That's not what that verse says. What that verse says, this is the whole of man. This is your whole calling. This is what you have to strive for. To fear God and keep his commandments. And when these things happen, then you're going to be the kind of person that you ought to be. And you'll understand what life is all about. And one of the things that was added in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7, he said, Peter talked about casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Once you realize that, it gives you a peace of mind. And we learn the difference between fun and enjoyment. And we can have joy. The Philippian letter is often called the letter of joy because Paul said again and again, rejoice, and again I say rejoice. In the middle of being in prison, you understand. He wrote the Philippian letter to that church while he was in Rome in prison. And he was saying, rejoice. And again, I say rejoice. How could you do that? Because joy has no connection to fun. Joy is that sense of accomplishment and completeness that you have once you have that faith in Jesus Christ. And nothing else can take it away from you. And we need that kind of faith and casting our cares upon Him. Hebrews 11 is called the Hall of Heroes, because here the men and women of the Old Testament and in the New, of those who had the kind of faith that saw them unto death, up to and including death. And so Noah built an ark. Now, you know, people have really been searching the mountains of Ararat because they really think they found an ark. Well, it doesn't make my faith any stronger, because I believe there was an ark whether they ever find it or not. But the thing that's outstanding about Noah, that Noah believed God and built the ark when he had never seen rain. See, there was a different atmosphere in, over the world at the time of Noah. There was a big globe over the world, and it had never rained, and the Bible tells us that the earth was watered by a heavy dew every morning. And so when God told him there's going to be a great flood, he had never seen rain before, but he knew what God said. And that's the kind of faith that we need, to understand what God says and to do it, though sometimes we don't always understand why. Go back to the time of Abraham. He was told to offer Isaac upon the altar. He was not told why. Wasn't told why, but he was ready to do it. He was ready to offer his own son, which was common in those days of idolatry. But God was testing Abraham. How much faith do you have in me? And you know, there are many things in the Old Testament that they did that they didn't understand why. And they just knew to do what God told them to do. For example, they were told to offer sacrifices, sheep and goats and dove and all those kinds of things. And they did that faithfully for a long time. What they didn't understand was that those animal sacrifices were a type of the antitype, who is Christ. Christ is the perfect sacrifice. They didn't understand all that. They just did what God told them to do. And folks, friends and brethren, if we have that kind of faith, when we understand what God tells us to do, we'll do it because of our faith. Now let me give you an example. One of the great controversies of the religious world is the subject of baptism. Books and books and books have written against baptism. Debates have been held all over the country about whether or not baptism is effective to salvation. Most people don't believe it. I've got the creed books in my library that says baptism does not save, that you're saved by faith alone. Well, what did Jesus say? Mark 16, 15 and 16, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Now, if you never understand baptism and what it represents, and let me just pause and say that it represents the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. When one repents of their sins, they become dead to sin, and then they're buried in the waters of baptism, and they rise to walk in newness of life. That's what Jesus did when he went to the grave. He died and was buried and rose again. That explains what baptism does, but if I never understood that, Jesus said, do it. Is that enough? If not, why not? You know, if people, you know, sometimes they have what they call the red letters of the Bible. The words of Jesus are in red. Well, that one's in red. But I don't care if it's in yellow or black. It's still the same thing. It's a commandment of Jesus Christ. It's a promise of salvation. When you enter the waters of baptism, you reach the blood of Christ. Now, if I never understood that, I'm wrong. And people need to understand that's how we reach the blood. Have you ever asked yourself, I do believe in the blood of Christ saving me. I believe that, but how do I reach the blood? How do you reach the blood of Christ? I've said repeatedly, you can't get it at Walmart. You can't buy it online. The only way to reach the blood of Christ is to be baptized into his death, because that's where the blood was shed. And we understand it's not the water that saves, it's the medium of obedience. It's the medium of obedience. Do you believe in doing what Jesus told you to do? If you do, you'll be baptized into Christ for the remission of sins. That's the statement of Jesus. Not only in Mark, but in Matthew 28, 18 through 20. The Great Commission. Why do we call it the Great Commission? Because it was to all the world, every creature. And we need to understand that. So Abraham offered Isaac. He wasn't told why, but he had faith. And he did it. The walls of Jericho fell down. Pardon me. And there's not a general with an army today that would try to use Joshua did with regard to the walls of Jericho. They marched around the city once a day, and then they marched around it one time, seven times, and blew the trumpets. Now, there's no logical explanation for this. That's a miracle. And if you don't believe in miracles, you'll never believe the Bible. But Joshua did what he was told to do. And when the priest blew the horns, the walls fell outward. That's faith. And that's what it is. And so you're going to face, sometimes in your life, a decision to make. Do I believe in Jesus Christ or not? And Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. So I ask you clearly, have you been baptized into Christ to reach the blood for forgiveness of sins? If you haven't, you haven't been saved. It's just that simple. And that's what the teaching of Christ is in Mark chapter 16. Strong faith helps us to follow hard commandments. And there are some hard commandments. I recognize that not all of them are easy, but they're all within our grasp. We talked about Saul a moment ago. After Saul had seen the risen Christ on the road to Damascus, he was told to go into Damascus, and there he would meet Ananias. Now, Saul had this reputation for killing Christians. Can you imagine the thoughts that would have gone through Ananias' mind? I've got to go talk to Paul. What if he kills me? What if Paul cuts off my head? What if he puts me in prison? He's been a persecutor of Christians, and I've been told to go and talk to Paul. But he went, because he had that faith. And through the faith that Ananias had, he came to Paul and said, your faith on the road to Damascus saved you. Did you read that in the Bible? You prayed the sinner's prayer, and that saved you. No, it's not in there. What Ananias said, Paul, he had already been repenting and fasting. He knew the Lord, he believed. And I said, Saul, why tarest thou? Arise, be baptized, and wash away your sins. So he was not saved on the road to Damascus. He was not saved by the sinner's prayer, because there is no such prayer in the Bible. He had the faith to do what Ananias told him to do. Oh, that other people would have this kind of faith. That people would just read their Bible and understand exactly what's going on. We have sometimes what is called a hard command because of our own way of life. Jesus said that what God hath joined together, let not man separate. Some don't have a problem with marriage because they're living together without marriage. In fact, the statistics tell us now there are more people living together without marriage than are actually married together. But even with marriage, sometimes people decide, well, I've been with my wife 10 years and I want a younger woman, so I'm going to divorce my wife and marry again. Jesus said in Matthew 19 and Matthew 5, if you put away your spouse and marry again, except for the cause of fornication, you commit adultery. And the one that you marry commits adultery with you. Now that's a hard commandment in today's world. But you know, it's not when you grow up understanding the Bible, understand what the Bible says about faith and a wife and a husband and responsibilities to one another and the blessing of marriage. It's not hard at all because you have faith. And you know that when you do what you should do, you're going to have the right kind of family. So this is a hard issue for some people, but an easy command for others, because they've committed themselves to one man and one woman for life. And that's what God intended, with one exception. And that exception is the cause of adultery. And the innocent one can remarry. The guilty one can never remarry and be right with God. And so these are things that's hard for some and easy for others. But all the commands of God can be followed. There's just no doubt about it. You can do by faith what God says to do. People say, well, you know, what about these people that live over the deserts? How can they be baptized? Because they don't have any water. Yes, they do. Because people can't live in the desert without a source of water. And wherever you have a source of water, you can obey the gospel of Christ. Especially here in America, where most buildings have baptistries, and some of them even warm. When Rhonda was baptized not long ago, the water was cold. It hadn't been heated. And I said, Rhonda, here's your first test. Because you're going to be baptized in cold water. And she stood the test. And so you see, we can always obey the commandments of the Lord. So Jesus taught us a lesson with regard to the mustard seed and the tree that it becomes. And that little bit of faith that I have when I'm young, when I'm a new Christian, can grow and grow and grow and influence other people. A husband with faith can lead his wife to obey the gospel. A wife with faith can lead her husband to the gospel. A mother and a father with faith can raise their children to obey the gospel. And the church will grow, because that's what faith does. The result of faith is the church of Jesus Christ, because He is the object of our faith. I may be speaking to someone this morning who's not a Christian. If that's the case and you wish to be baptized today, we'll find a place, hopefully with warm water. But whatever it takes. I remember going into Crockett, Texas, baptizing an older man who was somewhat crippled. We went out in this backyard, and there was a stock pond with mud up to my ankles. But we waded down in that and baptized him into Christ. And as we did that, his son said, I want to be baptized too. Can you understand the joy of a preacher who helps people become a child of God? What a privilege it is. And I tell you, when the going gets rough, and it sometimes does, Brother Harris will tell you that, when the going gets rough and somebody walks down that aisle, everything is worth it. Because it's by faith that we work, not by sight. If you need to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ this morning, to obey the commandment of Christ, if you want to place membership with this congregation, or if you're a member of the church already and something has happened in your life that's led you into sin, the Bible says to pray and repent, and God will forgive you. We invite you to do that very thing while we stand together and sing this invitation song.